You'll notice as we continue in this Lenten season that the Alleluia that we normally sing has gone silent as we prepare for this Lenten season, I should say. Our sermon today is going to come from the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning at verse 16, which was our part of our epistle reading today. And last week, if you remember, I talked to you a little bit about spiritual discipline. And St. Paul talked to us about spiritual discipline. And I sort of left you with this challenge that what would your life or what could your life look like if you lived the best life? That is, that if you took Christ serious enough to actually live out the Christian life in the way that he's called us to. And in the Orthodox Church, we talk about this as synergy, to be in synergy with God, saying yes to God and allowing him to work through you. This week, we're going to look at something a little different, but it's sort of a two-part message. Let's say, for example, let's just take an example here and say last week you were moved by the sermon and you went out and you began to live a holy life as best as you could. And you prayed to God and said, Lord, I need your help and, you know, come into my life and help me. And you began loving more and giving more and forgiving more and praying more and all these things. And then all of a sudden something else happens to us. And this is what St. Paul talks to us about today, is spiritual pride. Last week we looked at spiritual apathy. Nominalism, we're just pew warming. This week, we look at the opposite problem, that if we did apply the principles, what could happen to us? If we were disciplined to God and we were delivered from the shame and guilt of not living the life as we know we should, how could we change? And what is a spiritual pitfall then? And so maybe I'll give you this illustration. For about 10 years, I knew I was overweight. You know, I checked those BMI measures and things, and I'm like, oh man. And so I decided one day that I was going to lose weight, and I actually did it. I began working out every day and running. I lost 28 pounds in, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months, and I felt great. And I remember I was at a trade show for work, and I had got to the point where it was kind of normal to just drink water and stuff, and, you know, it became sort of a routine for me. And I remember looking at a guy, and he had this Mountain Dew, and he was just downing it, and I thought to myself, look at that guy, man. He's just killing himself over there with those calories. What is he thinking? Drinking that Mountain Dew. That's like 300. Everything I saw, I was counting. That's like 320 calories. That's like 400. And I found myself beginning to judge people because I was doing what I thought I was supposed to be doing. And so a pride sprung up in me. Now, as you can see this morning, I put all the weight back on plus 5 since then. Right? And so I look at my own self now and say, what are you doing? But my point is that, and the proposition for our sermon today, is that Christian discipline can only work if it's joined with Christian humility. See, it's got to be a God thing, and it's got to be a humbling thing. And so St. Paul is going to show us how we can have a Christian life that is rooted in humility, so that when we are disciplined and when we're living for God, we don't find ourselves judging other people. And see, the devil, I mean, he switches gears so fast. He goes from, you're not worthy, look how you're living your life, you're a terrible person. And as soon as you start trying and God shows you some powerful things in your life, then he switches gears and goes, look at you, you're so great. That person over there is terrible, right? And all of a sudden you switch gears and you become prideful. So there's all these traps and pitfalls. So today what St. Paul is going to show us, first of all, is that we're to avoid celebrating our sufferings, we're to avoid celebrating our blessings, and we're to embrace our weaknesses. So that's what we're going to look at today. So let's first of all look at what he means when he says we're to avoid celebrating our sufferings. First of all, when St. Paul begins this passage, listen to some of the words he says. Let no one take me for a fool, so that I may do a little boasting. Or he says it again, I am speaking as a fool. There are a lot of people, they call themselves Judaizers, who are coming behind St. Paul when he was done preaching and saying, why are you listening to this guy? We're the true Jews. We've done all these things. We're these great people. You should be listening to us. And basically what they were saying is you need Judaism plus Christ. And so St. Paul is now saying, look, I'm about to boast, but I know I sound like a fool. I'm about to say some things in order to show you that what they're saying about how great they are, I'm even greater. But I know that in doing this, I sound like a fool. I'm acting like a fool. And this is not a godly thing. As a matter of fact, he says, in this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would. In other words, Jesus Christ would never do this. So he finds himself in this predicament where he's about to brag, but he knows that bragging about his sufferings for Christ isn't exactly holy. So this is what he says. He says that he was imprisoned often. I want you to think about this. When St. Paul was in prison, we're not talking about, you know, these country club prisons. We're talking about the guy was in prison, in a basement, in a dungeon, at the bottom level where all the feces and urine came down. Eating stale bread. I mean, the guy was in prison, right? And the only way he had anything is if he could find somebody who would come and deliver him food, deliver him a blanket, things like that. So he was in prison often, not once, not for a day, but for a long time he was in prison. He said he was whipped times without number. Like, I don't even remember how many times that was. We think about Christ being flogged. St. Paul was flogged over and over and over, like five times. What was to the point of death? Imagine what his back looked like. Sausage, right? Just ripped apart. He said that he faced death time and time again. He faced death and the dangers from flooded rivers. He said that he faced death from robbers. You know, when you traveled, it wasn't like you jump on Route 90 in your car and cruise down, you know, state cops all around watching things. You're on your own. As a matter of fact, where the banking system began to develop was in the Roman Empire. And what you would do is take all your money out of your pocket and you bring it to a bank and get a note. And then you would go to the, when you got to the other side of your trip, you go to the bank and you show them the note and get your money. Because if you were carrying money on those trails, you're done for. And St. Paul's talking about how many times he went to preach the gospel and robbers showed up and beat him and stole from him. He faced dangers from the Jews and the Gentiles. Everybody hated him, right? He was stoned. He was shipwrecked three times. He spent a night out in the ocean, 24 hours floating at sea overnight, right? He traveled thousands of miles by foot. He spent countless nights sleepless, constantly hungry, thirsty, cold, ill-clothed. He experienced, like, he was in a city. They were going to kill him. They had to sneak him out of a hole and lower him down a basket to get away. All right? So what is St. Paul saying in all of this? You guys think you're holy? Look what I have done. But when he says that, he says, I'm speaking like a fool. In other words, when we're fasting and when we're doing the holy things during Lent, right? And then we look at someone else and think, why aren't they fasting? Why does he have meat on his pizza? Why is he, right? And we start to judge them. St. Paul's like, this is foolish talk because none of this means anything at the end of the day if I don't have a heart for Christ, right? So we're not supposed to boast in our sufferings for Christ, as we fast and as we pray. We thank God that we're not going through what Paul went through. But look at the Christians in Ukraine this morning. Think about what they're going through as they head to Mass this morning. As their cities are under siege, they're being shot at and all of this stuff. You know, it can be easy to boast. But secondly, we're supposed to avoid celebrating our blessings too. You know, St. Paul talks about it this way. He says, I knew a man, and this man is talking about himself. And again, he says, I'm a fool. I'm going to talk about my blessings. I talk about my sufferings. I'm going to talk about my blessings. I know a man who went to the third heaven. He said, I saw things unspeakable that as a human being, I can't even utter in this life. It's not proper to even speak about them. He talks about the vision of heaven that God had given him. He talks about the spiritual blessings that he's experienced, the joy that's in him, even when he's getting flogged and whipped. It's what keeps him going, right? And so this can happen to priests so easy too. This idea of, you know, you put on the holy vestments and you're touching the Eucharist and you're saying Mass, and all of a sudden you might think you're somebody. You know, you can celebrate the spiritual blessings in pride, and you could become something that is not holy, that is not sacred, right? So he talks not only about his sufferings, about, oh, hey, look what I went through, right? He talks also about his blessings. Look what God is doing in my life. God must love me. I have a beautiful home. I'm very comfortable. God must love what I'm doing. And this sense is also just as wrong, right? So when we live out the Christian life, there's a chance that we'll have supernatural blessings and experiences. When I was very young in my Christian faith, I remember reading that passage, blessed are those who see and believe. More blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And I prayed this prayer. I'll never forget it. I stood on my front yard. I looked up at heaven and I said, God, don't ever give me any kind of supernatural blessing. Don't ever show yourself or reveal yourself to me because I want to be more blessed in believing in you throughout my life without having seen. I got to tell you, I regret that prayer just about every day. Come on, God. I don't hold it to me. But it's the truth. And this is this idea of Humility, even when we're blessed, that it's a gift. A lot of times what happens when God gives to us, the great sin is that we take what he's given us, and instead of offering it back to him in communion and using it to bless others, we hoard it into ourselves and say, thank you, this is mine now. Now this is mine. That's the secular life. The Christian life is to say, thank you for the blessing, and now I offer it back to you by being a blessing. And the secular life is, thank you for the blessing, it's mine now. I claim it, I hold it, it's mine. You see? Thirdly, he talks about not bragging on your sufferings or bragging on your blessings, but he talks about embracing your weakness. How do you have a humble life in Christ? By remembering who you are, by embracing your weakness. He talks about a thorn in his side. He said that he has this thorn in his side, and what this is this pain. He has a suffering. We don't know what it is. He doesn't tell us. Some people speculate it's because he was blind or very poor eyesight. And it's very hard to be an apostle and travel and do all these writings and everything when you're blind. And so maybe that was what the thorn was. I personally think the thorn was probably the guilt for martyring Stephen, the first martyr of the church. He stood by and killed him. I don't know how I would live with that, having been converted to Christianity and become who St. Paul had become. But whatever it was, God gave him a thorn in his side. God gave him a humbling experience. And he says, I prayed 3 times, Lord, take this thorn out of my side. Lord, remove from me this hindrance, this weakness of mine. And I want you to consider your own weaknesses in this minute. What is the weakness that you have that you hate? And you say, God, help me in this. And God leaves it. And you suffer through it daily. Right? Why does he do this? Think about Joseph. He had to be sold into slavery in order to save Israel from the famine. If you think about Isaac, he was taken advantage of by his uncle in order to develop the Israel, right? I mean, all of the people who made an impact for Christ had to be humbled. Remember how Jacob wrestled with the Lord and his hip was broken? And he said, bless me, and he wrestled with God. There's the sake of wrestling with God. There's hardships. This pain that's in us, this part of us that is broken and is a weakness that we don't like about ourselves, that we don't want God to leave there. And yet he does. We say, why? In order that we may learn humility and always remember who we are. Paul concludes this way. And this is the great realization that he had. And it took him a long time, and it will take us time. The great realization he had is that when I am weak, then I am strong. Because when I'm weak and I feel my sin and the weight of it, and I have a proper understanding of who I am, then I'm strong because I'm united to Christ and he's my strength. But if I am strong in my blessings and strong in my sufferings and strong in my pride, then I can make no impact because it's not Christ working in me, it's me. And so there's probably something in your life that you despise about yourself. There's probably a pain or a weakness that you've asked God to remove that you're trying to work through. What St. Paul is saying today is he embraced it and he hugged it. And he said, this weakness, this frailty reminds me of my human dependence upon God. And in depending upon God and knowing my need for Christ, and I can stay humble, and God can use me. I think I'll just leave it there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, God is one. Amen.